I couldn't do that song because there's too much spelling in it, and I can't spell. I can't spell when I'm sitting alone trying to work it out with a spell checker, let alone with music and then beating. So I bet she didn't cut her pumpkin out like I helped the grandkids cut theirs out. Now, the two oldest ones did pretty good. They kind of cut their own, but I had to help the rest of them. And I used my Dremel tool to cut out the faces. So I don't think she looks like that's a much better job than my Dremel tool did. But I had to go into manufacturing. I couldn't go into artistic. So it is interesting, though, that she chose that this evening. And I don't know, there's such a divine timing in all this when we do things. This series has been planned, and of course, I wasn't here last week to do this. But then it always amazes me the timing of God and how He brings things together. Jennifer and I don't get together and discuss what I'm going to do, and she tries to come up with something that will match that. It's enough of a challenge for both of us to do what we do, let alone try and coordinate all that. But it is interesting that she should bring up the subject of light, because that's exactly, of course, where we're going with the tabernacle this evening. As we look at the lampstand here, the golden candlestick, or the lampstand that is it, and we'll look at the passage of Scripture here first from Exodus 25. Make a lampstand of pure gold. The whole lampstand, including its decorative flowers, must be made from a single piece of hammered gold with three branches on each of its two sides. There are to be three decorative almond blossoms on each branch and four on the stem. There must also be a blossom where each pair of branches comes out from the stem. The lampstand, including its branches and decorative flowers, must be made from a single piece of hammered pure gold. The lamp on the top and those at the end of each of the six branches must be made so as to shine toward the front of the lampstand. The tongs and trays for taking care of the lamps are to be made of pure gold. The lampstand and the equipment will require 75 pounds of pure gold, and they must be made according to the pattern I showed you on the mountain. 75 pounds of pure gold. I wonder what the market value is on that today around here. 75 pounds of pure gold. And also notice here that it must be made according to the pattern. The pattern is used for a title of a book that I have referred to from time to time, about all this, about the tabernacle and other implements done during this time. But everything must be done according to the pattern. So if you go into the tabernacle here, and tabernacle proper, last time that we talked, we've gone from the altar burnt offering, we've gone from the laver, we've gone inside the tabernacle itself, and on the right-hand side is the table of showbread. This evening we're on the left-hand side, where the golden candlesticks are. And this would be a kind of its placement if we had an aerial view down inside and looking at the placement of all these things. It is described, of course, in minute detail. The most striking detail, perhaps, being that is made of one solid piece of gold. You know, no wood is used in the construction. It wasn't made in sections and then put together. It was beaten, not molded. By today's standards, it would be worth probably $1 million plus, I suppose. You know, the central shaft divided on both sides into three limbs, and each like an almond branch with intricate handwork that went up. The pure olive oil is in each bowl, and then there's a wick inside of it. And on each branch are the knobs, which are likely to be fruit-shaped. Here, and the likeness of a flower is carved in each one of those. And the purpose is to illuminate the holy place. You know, there are no windows, there's no natural light. In fact, there's several layers of covering that go over this tabernacle proper inside. And so there is no natural light in here, and this provides the only light inside. Each morning and evening, the priest would enter and he would trim away the burnt part of the wick, and then he would adjust it. And the golden lamp stands, dispelled the darkness here, so the priest then could do his job. And this is the place where the glory of God. Light was the first created object of this natural world. When God created the world, what's the first thing He did? He brought in light. And of course, that is who He is. The formation of the lampstand here, we see first that this light is a symbol then of the presence of Yahweh. For God is light. God is physical light. He was the pillar of fire that led them by night. He was the light for them, provided a light for them throughout their journey. God is intellectual light. And any knowledge man gains is only because God has allowed that light to come on. You know, sometimes we think we're so intelligent because of what we have found. Well, first off, the thing is, it's been there all the time. We finally stumbled around, taking us thousands of years. Well, wow, we've come up with a discovery. It's been there all the time. God had placed it there all the time. And so He's allowed this light to come on, in essence, to this. Technology today has exploded. Man is pretty proud of himself, but still God is light. God is also the moral light. People live and walk in moral darkness. John 1:5 says, "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Now, there is this moral darkness in which we need light. Jesus says here that He is the light. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." He spoke this on the occasion when there was an immense candelabra outside of the temple on this occasion that was used for one of the feasts. It was being lit. You could see it from the mounts nearby if he was looking, because it gave such great light in the darkness. And he used that as a visual illustration to me when that was there. And he says, "I am the light of the world." And remember that in taking that illustration and applying it to him. Remember a man by the name of Saul. Remember he was on the road of life one day when he saw a great light, and it was Jesus, and he was blinded by what he saw physically, but spiritually that day he saw the light and he was converted. And that made all the difference. It turned a wicked man into a believer. You know, he used to be against Christ, and now he was for Him. Now he's no longer Saul, he becomes the Apostle Paul. Can you remember the day when you saw the light? You know? Do we see Jesus here in this lampstand, I wonder? You know, knobs like a pomegranate speak of His fruitfulness. The flowers remind us, of course, that He is the lily of the valley, and He is the rose of Sharon. The bowls like almonds with oil speak of the resurrection. The almond is the first tree to show life in the spring in the country of Israel. And this is a picture of Christ as the first fruit. 1 Corinthians 5:23, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming." That's the familiar King James rendering of that verse. Let us look at the CEV version, "But we must each wait our turn." Christ was the first to be raised to life, and His people will be raised to life when He returns. Pretty clear information to us. Verse 31 of Exodus 25 says, "Make a lampstand of pure gold. The whole lampstand, including its decorative flowers, must be made from a single piece of hammered gold with three branches on each of its two sides." You know, the lampstand was beaten to work out of this solid gold. The word beaten could be translated hammered. Here, and it's another picture of Christ and His cross. The branches of this candlestick represent both the church and the individual Christian. You know, God gave John a remarkable vision in Revelation, the first chapter, verse 12 and 13. "When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstand. There were with the lampstands was someone who seemed to be the Son of Man. He was wearing a robe that reached down to his feet, and a gold cloth was wrapped around his chest. Revelation 1:20, I will explain the mystery of the seven stars that you saw at my right hand and the seven gold lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the lampstands are the seven churches. The church and the believers in it are supposed to be cities that are set upon hills, that we are shining like lighthouses in this dark world. It's a very storm-tossed world that needs some kind of light of guidance to it. And Jesus charged the church that they need to repent here in the book of Revelation, or God would take away their candlestick. You'll no longer be there. Oh, you might still draw people to you, but you won't be drawing people to the light. And it's a sad day when a church's light begins to flicker and fade, and they get away from their purpose, and they begin to dim, and God eventually moves out of that church. May we hold fast our power and our influence and never hesitate to take that opportunity to be light. Now, we are to be the light of the world and to dispel darkness so people can find their way. Ephesians 5, 8, and 14. You used to be like people living in the dark, but now you are people of the light because you belong to the Lord. So act like people of the light. Light shows up everything. Just as the Scriptures say, wake up from your sleep and rise from death, then Christ will shine on you. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. You belong to the light and live in the day. We do not live in the night or belong to the dark. As individuals, we need to be light in darkness. At school, at work, at home, wherever we may be, you may be the only light around, so don't hide it under a bushel. Don't let it get snuffed out. Let it shine. Keep burning brightly and never burn out. Now, the branches of this candlestick are part of the same piece. They weren't an afterthought. And neither were you. You are a part of the big picture, God's grand plan. Now you are in union with Him. We are in unity with one another through Him. Now the fuel for the lampstand is interesting in itself. Nothing of power runs without fuel of some kind. Now the fuel is valuable, and fuel is more today than ever, of course. It's become liquid gold. It's what powers anything and everything that has energy or motion. The wind is a fuel. So is gravity. So is light. No, but what about the oil? Zechariah 4, verses 1 through 6. The angel who explained the visions woke me from what seemed like sleep. Then he asked, what do you see? A solid gold lampstand with an oil container above it, I answered. On the stand are seven lamps, each with seven flames. One olive tree is on the right side and another on the left of the oil container. But sir, what do these mean? Then he asked, don't you know? No, sir, I replied. So the angel explained that it was the following message of the Lord to Zerubbabel. I am the Lord all-powerful. So don't depend on your own power or strength, but on my Spirit. The oil is representative of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, you know, what's the fuel that keeps the church afire? You know, the Holy Spirit. What's the fuel that will ignite you into a burning beacon for God? It's the Holy Spirit. That is our divine power source. Not by might or programs or man-made devices, but by God's Holy Spirit are things accomplished. You know, we can try to have a great service and put so much effort into it, but it will be a big flop, not if the weather turns bad, and not if the crowd is down, not if the economy is weak, not if the people are depressed, but if we don't seek God and ask Him to anoint our service with His Holy Spirit of power. If we do it in our own strength, then we will see how utterly weak we are. Now, if we depend on Him, we'll just see how big and bright things can become. So we need to ask you to pray for that. For God's power to be upon us. For the right people to be present and attentive. For people to find salvation. For hearts to be ignited. For families to be reunited. For lives to be discipled and changed. For this place to be ablaze for God's glory and to light the darkness. You know, Elijah came across a widow in debt and about to be hauled off to prison, and all she had was a little cruse of oil. But the man of God told her to gather all the vessels she could find and start pouring oil into them, and it never ran out. Every pot they had faith to bring was filled. She could now sell it and retire. And it all started with just a little oil. We are to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God available to us. And if we'll just have the faith to ask for Him to fill it and fill us, use us in the way that He wants to do His will, then we'll see greater things than we've ever seen. Are you available, though, to be a vessel to be filled? You see the flame of the lampstand then, the three questions on the minds of all the people, wherever they are and whatever they're doing. These are the three questions that come to my mind. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? Ask a non-illuminated person these questions and they have no clue. You ask them the first question, they'll say something like that. I was a tadpole when I began to begin. Then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey in a coconut tree. And now I'm a man with a PhD. Why are you here? To make as much money as possible for my kids to fight over someday? Huh? Where are you going? You know, I don't know and I don't care. You know, John 3:19 says, "The light has come into the world, and people who do evil things are judged guilty because they love the dark more than they love the light." The light was deposited into Jesus, and they rejected Him. The light was deposited into the Bible. "Thy word is a lamp," it says, and they reject it. And all the light is deposited in you, and you may be the only light that someone sees. There are tongs and snuff dishes by this candlestick. And why? So the priest can pour in the oil and he can trim the wicks. It's not pleasant when God has to do some trimmings and some adjustings in our lives. But when He does that, we always burn bright. And if you endure, if you finish, you can burn brightly as a shining light for Jesus. Simple as this. See the light and be the light. Perhaps we should have sung that this evening. This little light of mine. I'll let it shine.